bank, trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies.
And you were hired for a reason. You know, if you have something to say, speak up. It's great advice. So we'll be right back. Just a second or two. It's already 3:48. Thanks for listening in today.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert in numismatists, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening in again. I'm Judy Murphy. It's already 3:49, and I'm from where I live in White House Station, New Jersey. So if you are interested in attending, just contact the chamber and you can go online and fill out the forms right there. Connie, are you there?
I am. I'm still here.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for holding through on the commercials and being on the show today. I'm sure everybody's enjoying it. Why don't you just take the next about 7 minutes to tell us whatever else you think is most important for our listeners out there.
Oh my goodness, I feel so empowered.
Yes. Oh, yeah, so interesting. Yeah, honestly, you know, I'm getting so much out of it, I didn't want to interrupt you, so I was like, let's just keep going, because time goes so fast.
All right, well, I think just to sort of wrap up the whole conversation is that I just want to encourage your listeners to think really carefully about how they're coming across. You know, believe it or not, I actually spend a fair amount of time in my workshops on teaching people how to answer the phone. Now, that might sound a little odd, you know, like, of course, you pick up the phone and you say hello. And I gave an example earlier, but, it's important that you think about how you're coming across. And you're completely responsible for that. That is up to you. That's all your choice. And so you can answer the phone with a tone of voice that says, I'm too busy, I can't talk to you right now. You know, make it quick. You're an interruption. Or you can answer the phone welcoming the person in. You know, I've been sitting here all day just waiting for you to call. And you have to think about how you set the tone of the conversation. And that is very true, not even in telephone communication, but in face-to-face communication. What kind of an impression are people getting of you when you greet them? Just when you greet them. And so what happens is we know that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And what we do then is we either seek evidence to confirm the impression we have, or we seek evidence to change that impression. And when I'm on the telephone, am I exuding some kind of energy and enthusiasm and helpfulness? Do I sound helpful? And when I record, so I'll go around the room and I'll take a recorder and I'll just go around the room and say, just answer the phone like you normally do. And people say to me, oh my gosh, I sound angry, or ooh, gosh, I don't know, you know, or, you know, it sounded kind of mean, and I'm like, yeah. So what happens then, you have to think about what the reaction to the other person is. So when you do that, so you answer the phone and you're sounding mean, they're intimidated, they're not going to be so likely to work with you, they're going to start working against you right away. It's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if I could just leave you with this idea that, you know, be in charge, be aware, be actively involved in the relationships that you're building with others, whether it's a first-time relationship, first and only, or it's your first time into a lasting relationship, especially with customers and clients, you know, folks that we work with on a regular basis. And then all of the channels. And so that kind of brings me around to texting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in business, we want to be very careful of the whole text thing because it can derail a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your example is, I'm on my way. You know,
yeah.
Can I get there? Okay, you know.
Right.
It's just, we want to really think about that and ask yourself, is texting the channel that I want to be using? Is that really the appropriate thing, the appropriate way to go? Often it's not. Not in business, anyway. Now, and I'll say to people, they'll say, well, you know, my clients, they text me. You know, they want me to text them. I say, great. Then act like text is your email. Use punctuation.
Right.
Use full words. Make full sentences. Don't use emoticons. You can use a smiley face once in a while. It's okay. But, you know, think about what kind of an it's a business relationship.
It's interesting that you say that, just because you are the professional here. I'm curious, like, what do you think about, you know, Twitter is like the standard operating procedure for many businesses now, and they, you know, have limited it down to like 140 characters, so you have to, you know, cut it down, and then, you know, sometimes you have to leave behind punctuation, and that's what they're learning, and so it must be so difficult, because I agree with you, I'm like more of a traditional person, so, you know, I'm expecting when I'm, especially working with someone who's younger than me, I want them to kind of get up on my game, and I want to also be courteous to their environment, what they're doing. It's got to be pretty weird in the middle, though, don't you think?
I do. I really do. I think it's appropriateness. You know, you don't want to come off all stuffy and old-fashioned either.
Right.
So, in terms of Twitter, it's got its own language. You can be pretty creative with the words that you're choosing. You have to keep it short. Same with texting. There are some things that are sort of overlooked. You know, once upon a time, you would be so embarrassed that
right.
autocorrect, you know.
Right.
You'd be so embarrassed, like, oh my gosh, I came up. But people are like, oh, autocorrect again. You know, we sort of get it. And so it's a balance. It's, and I always tease when I always say, okay, now when you 20-somethings are running the world, we'll speak, we won't have any vowels, and we won't use punctuation, and we'll probably end up grunting at each other, you know, and we'll know what that means. But in the meantime, we've got one foot in each boat, and we need to be really careful about what we're communicating. And making sure that, you know, we're doing it the way we want, that what's getting said is what we really mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. You've shared so much about communications today for us and with us, and I just want to thank you for being on the show and also remind everybody again that you're going to be facilitating one of the breakouts at the Women's Leadership Summit, which is...
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
There has to be some form of punishment for the woman. Yeah.
Donald Trump getting slammed from presidential candidates on both sides for that comment on abortion. He suggested on MSNBC with Chris Matthews that women should be punished if abortions were to become illegal. Ted Cruz saying the comments demonstrate once again that Trump hasn't seriously thought through the issues and he'll say anything to get attention. Nuclear terrorism expected to be a hot topic at the Nuclear Security Summit hosted by President Obama today. White House spokesman Josh Earnest saying the summit will deal with efforts to keep nuclear materials out of the hands of groups like ISIS. Weekly jobless claims are at a two-month high, having risen more than expected last week. Labor Department saying it's received a total of 276,000 initial requests for unemployment benefits, an increase of about 11,000 from the previous week. Most economists had been expecting that figure to remain basically unchanged. This is USA Radio News.
March Madness is upon us, and Food Network's George Duran has some tips for hosting the perfect game bash.
For any get-together, I recommend offering at least one red and one white wine option, so there's something for everyone. My favorites to serve are Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi Chardonnay and Woodbridge Cabernet Sauvignon. Both wines are total crowd pleasers. They're fruit-forward and balanced with smooth finishes made to complement your food. You can pick up Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon for only $7 or $8 at your local wine retailer. From now through April 6th, Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi will donate a portion of all proceeds towards the V Foundation to support the work they do to find a cure for cancer.
So what does he plan to serve up this season?
Two of my favorite dishes I plan to serve this March Madness are sausage balls and the really nice caramelized onion dip. They're guaranteed crowd pleasers. Both recipes also pair really Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon for only $7 or $8 at your local wine retailer. From now through April 6th, Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi will donate a portion of all proceeds towards the V Foundation to support the work they do to find a cure for cancer.
So what does he plan to serve up this season?
Two of my favorite dishes I plan to serve this March Madness are sausage balls and the really nice caramelized onion dip. They're guaranteed crowd pleasers. Both recipes also pair really well with the Cabernet Sauvignon.
To get the full recipes and for more info, visit WoodbridgeWines.com.
One person's in critical condition and at least six others injured after a tornado rips through Tulsa, Oklahoma. At least four tornadoes reported in Tulsa County and Rogers County. Several thousand people without power in Tulsa and damage to buildings and other structures has been reported. It may not be politics delaying Hillary Clinton's investigation, USA Radio's Jason Wirt reports.
Whistle and FBI head says the pace of the Hillary Clinton investigation has nothing to do with interference from political sources. Former assistant director of the FBI, Ron Hoskell, told USA Radio News, because the case involves Clinton, the FBI would want to be extra thorough with their work.
The FBI would be looking to build a case that does cross every T and dot every I, because when you're talking about somebody of this profile and of this wealth, she can afford the best legal counsel, many of them.
Hoskell also said the FBI has no obligations to inform the White House or Congress about investigations, and rarely do.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say, and if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
California is one step closer to raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour. A bill that would raise the hourly wage statewide over the next 6 years scheduled for a floor vote today in the California Assembly. It would increase the minimum wage by 50 cents in the first 2 years and then by a dollar annually until the year 2022. A Republican congressman confirms another American's death last week in the terror attacks in Belgium. USA Radio's Chris Barnes reports.
Another American victim of the Brussels bombings is being identified as a mother of four. Texas Congressman Blake Ferrin told, confirming that Corpus Christi native Gail Martinez was killed in the attacks, and her husband, an Air Force officer stationed in Europe, as well as their children, are still being hospitalized. Ferrin told offering condolences to the family and calling on President Obama to deliver a comprehensive strategy to defeat ISIS, the group which has claimed responsibility for those attacks on the Belgian capital.
The FDA eases the requirements for taking an abortion pill. The agency now says the pill can be taken up to 10 weeks after conception, giving women more time to choose whether to use the medication. Chipotle could be getting into the burger business. The Denver-based burrito chain has filed for a trademark for the name Better Burger. The company already owns ShopHouse, Asian Kitchen, and a pizzeria chain. The company spokesperson saying the Chipotle model could also be applied to other foods. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the local affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is Inner Room Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, 11 4. It is 56 blustery degrees in Farmington. The forecast for today is partly sunny with a high of 69. Tonight, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 3 a.m. Friday, showers and another thunderstorm are possible, a high of 68. For Saturday, there's a slight chance of showers after 9 a.m. and partly sunny with a high of 57. And then Sunday will be mostly sunny with a high of 44 and breezy.
Rod, Kim, Neil, and Casey. The Amazons were the brand new kids in town. From the poor grounds to shame, they played the game their way. By hook and by crook, they wrote a new book. They were around.
Talk on line. We'll get to this. Good morning.
Roger Craig.
And welcome to the Library Show, starring Jennifer Winberry. Susan Thatch. Broadcasting live over the internet from the Hunterdon County Chamber offices in downtown Farmington, New Jersey. Tune in every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. and get to know the Hunterdon County Library. The library offers a wide array of services, programs, and community support to the residents of Hunterdon County. On today's show, the Friends of HCL annual book sale is a scant 1 month away. We'll give you all the details, including how to donate books. National Library Week is coming up in April. You'll have a chance to win a gift basket. We'll tell you how. Jennifer wonders, but if trees could scream, wouldn't be so cavalier about cutting them down? We might, if they screamed all the time and for no good reason. The HCL Outdoor Art Show and sale. Our outdoor summer concert series schedule is set. Comic Fest and much, much more on today's Library Show. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Jim. I didn't hear the first thing you said.
The first thing you said was listening to the lyrics of the song you picked to open our show. And he used the phrase, by hook or by crook, which is incorrect. It's hook or by crook, Jennifer.
But I wonder if it's an allusion to somebody on the team or something. Oh, this is an updated version. I just watched the ball roll past Bill Buckner on the first baseline.
Okay.
Six of the World Series.
Who's singing this song?
Jade and Penny are the rage.
Oh, I see. It's updated lyrics of that classic song.
Yeah.
Is it just Mets? Skew toward the Mets?
Yeah, it's talking baseball. I think most teams have talking baseball.
About their own team?
Yeah, the Yankees have one, and it's Joe D, the Clipper, and the Mick.
No, the original one is Mickey and the Duke. It's about just baseball in general.
Right, but then there is a Yankee one.
Okay.
And it's about Yogi Clipper and the Mick.
Okay, so why are we talking baseball?
Because...
Or incorrectly singing about baseball. Why are we?
Sunday is opening day. And
is
Mets,
it just Sunday?
It is Sunday, and that's the game of the week at 8 o'clock Sunday night.
But that's not the very first game. What two teams are going to be the first team to play? Is that the first game?
I don't typically. Well,
unless all the other games start on Monday, and this is
they used to
that
open
game.
In April on first April and Tuesday, first Tuesday in April. But the Cubs would always play the day before. The Cubs would always open the day before. So I don't play.
How did they get that privilege? You should have played the old class. I love the old Mets song.
The Mets.
Yeah. That's the classic.
I can look for it on you.
So what are your predictions for your Metropolitans this year?
Nothing very good, I'm afraid.
Why? They're supposed to be one of the favorites, Jennifer. Oh, my God, a typical Mets fan, just waiting for something to go wrong.
Because it will go wrong.
All right, well, great. Hate to tell you, New York Mets, but Jennifer's black cloud is on its way over to Citi Fields to plant itself over for another season. Come on, Jennifer, let's start it off positive and see what happens this year.
Okay.
They almost won it all last year, isn't that correct?
They did. They did.
So why would you think they'd be bad this year? You were a puzzle.
I am a puzzle and a riddle.
Why don't you root for the other team that's supposed to win the division? Maybe drag them down and help the old Metsies out.
I could do that. I suppose I could do that.
Okay, well, good morning. This is the Library Show. We have some programs coming up this week, starting with tonight. We have a program at the North County Branch called Mozart, The Golden Years, with Catherine Sprague. Jennifer, this talk details Mozart's years in Vienna between 1781 and 1786. It's pretty specific. In the year he wrote The Marriage of Figaro, Mozart had broken his employment with the Salzburg Archbishop and settled in Vienna, where he remained until his death in 1791. This program focuses on the first half of that. This is very thorough. That decade, which included most of his successful years as a composer. Some of the music that is included are clips from Marriage of Figaro, Quartet in D minor, and the overture of the Impresario. Also included is a near virtual tour of Figaro House in Vienna. So this is like a slideshow kind of historical
music.
It's an
illustrated talk, yes.
Very good. And there's also some paintings and scenes from Vienna during the latter half of the 18th century. So if you are a huge Mozart fan and want to know every detail, including his Vienna years, this is the place to be. North County Branch, tonight, March 31st at 7 p.m. Program is free and open to the public. We suggest reservations, but I'm going to say just come on in and show up. There'll be a seat for you.
I think so. And Saturday afternoon, the North County Branch Saturday Winter Concert Series concludes with a program that was postponed due to a certain blizzard in January. It's American Heritage Music and More, a performance by the Long Hill String Band. American music in the 1800s was melodic, energetic, soulful, and bound to start toe-tapping, humming, or singing along, and some to dance. That sentence doesn't even make sense. Our ancestors, mostly immigrants from Europe, were on the move settling the Appalachian Basin and west to the Mississippi, which we learned was sold to the Americans to help finance Napoleon's wars. They carried tunes from their homelands and created new music that embodied their hardships, joys, and experiences. With fiddle, banjo, mountain dulcimer, mandolin, upright bass, guitar, and voice, they will evoke the times when America was new and exploring new frontiers and establishing itself in the new world. The program will include reels, jigs, dance tunes, waltzes, rags, and tunes to sing along with, and lasts just a little bit longer than the introduction did. And it's Saturday, April 2nd at 2 o'clock at the North County Branch Library. And again, while reservations are suggested, I think you could just show up.
And then finally, next Wednesday, April 6th, the South Highlands Group of the Sierra Club will meet again. And we'll talk about the Paris Climate Conference. Jennifer, did it move us forward or backwards? Citizen action, not passive blind faith, is needed to institute the United Nations climate change talks held in Paris. Jerome Wagner, who attended last year's climate conference, he'll be on hand, Jennifer, to give an overview of his personal experience at the conference. That's interesting. This guy was actually at the conference. What the agreement accomplished and what lies ahead. So do you know what they agreed to?
I don't.
Do they agree that there's not a climate problem, or is that what they're talking about?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you for sure. Not being invited to the conference.
Do you believe there's a climate problem, Jennifer?
I don't know if there's a climate problem, but there's certainly a lot of things going on.
Is there? Is the Earth in danger, Jennifer?
I don't know enough about that to answer. But, you know, we've had...
What's your gut feeling say?
Not really, because we've had snowstorms in April. And last year, they were saying the snowpack in the Antarctic was only at 5%, and this year it's 90%. So...
Who said that?
I heard it on the radio this morning. And it was on CBS, so I believe them.
People, the problem with this whole thing, Jennifer, is people can't think long term. They just can't. It's the MTV generation. Things have to be immediate. People can't think what's going to happen over the next 10 years, let alone the next 1,000 years. So nothing's going to happen. There's no way we can control what we're doing to this planet. So I don't
even
know.
Think about it. Could 1,000 years ago, or even 100 years ago, when Thomas Edison was doing all his inventions and his friend who didn't get proper credit, whose name escapes me now, could they have imagined computers and iPhones?
You're saying someone's going to invent something to reverse?
No, I'm not saying someone is going to invent something, but when Alexander Graham Bell did his telephone, could he have ever imagined a thing sitting over there that keeps buzzing?
No, of course not.
So I'm saying so things could happen that we could never imagine.
So what's your point?
Things could happen that we can't even fathom right now.
Like something's going to be invented?
Invented or you don't.
Something good or bad? Where
yes,
are you going with
it
that?
Could be. I mean...
Oh. I'm not following you. You see, you're changing the subject because you don't even want to think about it.
No, I'm not.
Because you know we're doomed.
We're not doomed.
Our kids, 3 generations from now, maybe 5 generations.
All right, look at it this way. If you had told George Washington and Thomas Jefferson,
okay,
that we'd be sitting here talking on the radio, and everybody all over the world would hear it, that we would be able to sit.
You're making like a separate point from. I don't know how you're bringing this back to climate change.
Listen.
Okay.
And that you would have a device over there that would be buzzing. They couldn't even imagine it.
Okay.
So I'm saying we can't even imagine the things that might occur over the next 200 years that might completely alter. It could be for better or for worse.
Like we're going to move to another planet?
Possibly. We're going to go to another planet pretty soon. Don't you see what I'm saying?
Kind of, but I don't know, Jennifer.
You know, a while ago there were no bald eagles around, correct?
When were there no bald eagles around?
They were very scarce. And have you ever seen a bald eagle?
Yes.
In New Jersey?
Yes.
Recently?
They talk about them being along the Delaware River all the time. I haven't seen them, then.
No,
I haven't really gone looking for them.
I saw one Sunday.
Okay.
So, but for a long time you didn't see bald eagles. And now they're coming back.
Okay, so that's good. So you're saying it's good. So your point is it is not reversible. It is
not irreversible.
Okay,
yes. And
we
on
can
the positive
still do
one
something
today,
to
so
save.
Bad.
But who's going to tell everybody in China, like, to stop polluting our environment, like in all the other countries? So what if people in America pass laws and get the acts all together? We're a very small part of the world, Jennifer.
Something our quarter of the world will be doing okay.
They say in like 100 years, like the Saudi desert will be like too hot for anybody even to go near.
Well, frankly, right now the Saudi desert is too hot for me to go near. So, but you know what? It is time.
But we were talking about. Let me just finish this off. This is a Sierra Club meeting that the North County branch has every month. It's Wednesday, April 6th. Once again, the meet and greet starts at 7 p.m. And then if you want to meet Jerome Wagner, who was at the Paris Climate Conference. His program begins at 7:15. Refreshments are served.
Okay, so now we're going to go through some happy commercials, and we'll be right back after the break.
At Jersey Mike's, we think making a great sub sandwich and making a difference can be one and the same. Visit Jersey Mike's on Wednesday, March 30th. 100% of sales go toward helping a charity right in your own backyard.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? Mommy Hunterdon is the local affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Mommy Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join in. Mommy Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Fios is not cable. We're wired differently.
Oh, no matter what history, oh, no matter biology.
Welcome back to our Lab Dish Show. I'm Jim Thash. I'm joined by Jennifer Winberry. It's time for me to quiz Jennifer about events that happened on this date, March 31st, in years past. It's today in history, Jennifer. We should have like a thing where a fake applause comes up after. There should be buttons like that we could hit with sound effects. Is there buttons over there that we can suggest that?
There's, I think we could do it over here.
Okay, I also asked Jennifer about some people, little name recognition game, who were born or who had died on this date. People I know, to see if Jennifer knows who they are. But let's start with the events, Jennifer. Let's go back to 1774. The Kingdom of Great Britain orders the port of Boston, Massachusetts, closed pursuant to the Boston Port Act. Jennifer, why did they close the port?
Could it have something to do with all the tea the Patriots had just done?
Very good. The Boston Tea Party prompted that action. Could you explain the Boston Tea Party to people that might not know what it is?
Weren't they in second grade? The Boston Tea Party.
Are you insulting her? I apologize to our listening audience.
Boston Tea Party, the Patriots snuck down to the porch in the middle of the night and dumped all the tea overboard as a protest against the tea tax.
You missed a very important fact there.
What fact?
What did they dress as?
Are they dressed as Native Americans?
Correct. So that's a very important little detail. Okay, Jennifer, in 1889, what officially opened in Paris, France?
The World Exhibition? No, the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower is correct. But my backup question to you is, why did they build the Eiffel Tower? Why was the Eiffel Tower built? You almost had the answer right there.
Oh, it was for the Paris Exhibition.
It was the centerpiece of the Paris World's Fair. It was actually the entrance to get into the World's Fair. How about that?
How about that?
What was built in the Chicago World's Fair a scant 5 years later, that was the first, that was their centerpiece, that they wanted to match the Eiffel Tower. If my wife, Lori, is listening, she would know this answer. She'd probably be screaming it.
The Sears Tower was much later.
Incorrect.
Yeah, no, that's much later.
This was 1893, 1895, something like that. What was built, because they needed something like the Eiffel Tower to be a centerpiece of the World's Fair. The Columbian Exhibition, it was called in Chicago. The White City. Did you read Devil in the White City,
by the way? The Eric Larson, no.
Great book. Do we have it in our collection? We'll have to check it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's our book, tip of the day. Devil in the White City.
St. Louis Arch doesn't make sense. No, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm trying to think of tall things in that area.
The Ferris wheel. Oh. They built a huge Ferris wheel, the very first one ever built.
Hmm.
It was the centerpiece at the Chicago World's Fair.
How about that?
They actually moved it to the St. Louis World's Fair. That's my phone buzzing. Oh, my wife Lori is listening.
Hi, Lori.
Oh, my gosh. She works from home now. Did you know that? Did you know she switched jobs?
I did not. You'll tell me later.
My wife switched jobs, and now she works from home. Kind of works from home. Kind of listens to radio shows is when she should be working.
Thanks for
so
the
welcome,
morning.
Lori.
I'll behave.
She knows you're mean to me. She takes your side, actually. She thinks I'm mean to you.
She should. You
and
are.
And I know all our listeners think that's just
gassed,
ridiculous.
But you called me a spoiled brat.
I know, I apologize about that. I was just shocked that you won't cook a meal for your mom.
No, you know what? As a little side note, I had tried to make little mini quiches, but they all stuck in the muffin tins and they looked really ugly, so I didn't bring them.
Oh. No, it's just because you said you would never cook Thanksgiving for your mom again because she complained or something.
No. I didn't say I would never. I would, of course. She would not let me, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, let's not touch that anymore. Okay, Jennifer, in 1909, on March 31st, construction begins on what? It's very hard.
The Panama Canal.
No, it took 3 years to build, and disaster struck it immediately.
The Panama Canal.
No.
The Titanic.
The RMS Titanic. Very good. Good deduction. Okay, Jennifer, in 1917, on March 31st, how can I word this? Okay, the United States takes possession of the Danish West Indies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
After paying $25 million to Denmark. Boy, we really got some great land deals.
We did.
So they took the United States took possession of the Danish West Indies and renamed it what? What is it known as today?
Guam.
No. The Virgin Islands. We used to be the Danish West Indies. Okay, 1918 on the state. What goes into effect for the first time? 1918.
Okay.
First time in the U.S. this goes into effect. This is another. It's going to be too hard. It's something we just did a couple weeks ago. But you got to remember to do twice a year.
Oh, daylight savings time.
Correct. Daylight savings time, Jennifer. Okay, in 1945, a defecting German pilot delivers the world's first operational jet-powered fighter aircraft to the Americans, the first to fall into Allied hands. My question to you is, what kind of plane was it? What kind of... I know you know a lot about wars and things. What kind of German plane? What was the style?
P.T. Mustang.
A Messerschmitt.
Oh, no.
You don't know that?
Mm-hmm.
I picked this question because I like to say the word Messerschmitt. Right? It's fun. Say it.
It is. Messerschmitt.
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 Okay, finally, 1992, Jennifer. What ship, the last active United States battleship, is decommissioned in Long Beach, California? It was famous for having the Japanese surrender on the deck of it.
I have a picture of that we put out every September 2nd. The Missouri.
Correct. The USS Missouri was decommissioned on this date in 1992.
You know I have an original picture from that day?
An original picture?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it's an original? I mean, it's not a...
No, it's a picture. It's signed, and it's from the 1940s.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Of it being decommissioned?
Of the surrender. The signing of the papers,
oh.
Instruments of surrender.
It was signed, so it was like a photo op, the end of the war?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. Everybody was
lined
up.
Did they have, like, a Japanese guy, like, with selfies and stuff? Was Tojo there taking selfies with everyone?
No, but the Japanese and the Japanese emissaries were there. It's a posed picture. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. So they
never brought it here to show you? I'll bring them in some.
Kind of okay, I don't know where I'm going with this. Okay, yeah. Jennifer, some people who were born or died on March 31st.
Okay.
Do you know anybody, any of your friends ever were born or died? March 31st. It's like a...
Mm-mm.
Some people don't even know there is a March 31st, right? Some months only have 30 days. I'm just ranting today. I gotta stop talking.
Lori, what'd you feed him for breakfast? Or what didn't you feed him for breakfast, Lori?
She wanted to give me a corn muffin and I declined. Maybe I should have taken it.
I think you should have. Corn muffins are very soothing.
Are they?
Corn muffins and blackberries. for certain type personalities, that's a good thing to eat for breakfast.
You're just making that up.
I am not.
1823, Jennifer. Mary Boykin Chestnut is born. And I would never know who this is, but I just watched a show where she was prominently mentioned throughout it.
Is she a Civil War spy?
Civil War is correct, or but not a spy.
A nurse?
No, she was just a southern woman that kept
her diaries are very famous.
Detailed diary.
Yes, sir. I have them.
Ken Burns' Civil War thing leaned heavily on her diaries. I mean, mentioned them quite often. That's how I knew, because I just watched that Civil War series. 1934, Shirley Jones was born.
She was in State Fair. She is. She was Mrs. Partridge. She's married to David Cassidy.
No, that's her son.
Jack Cassidy.
Yeah.
David Cassidy was her son.
Most people would say Mrs. Partridge first, but you forgot her two most famous musicals. State Fair wasn't her most famous musical.
Oklahoma
was one. Lori probably knows this one, too. I know Kara knows this one.
Is she in The Music Man?
The Music Man.
Really?
She played Marilyn Peru, the librarian.
Marion?
Oh, Marion, yes. She was the librarian, Jennifer. The greatest librarian in all of literature is probably Marion the Librarian. There are any other famous literary librarians?
I'll think on that.
I would think you would know that off the top of your head. Besides yourself, of course.
Mm.
1935, Herb Alpert was born.
And he was the leader of the Tijuana Brass.
Mm-hmm. That's good enough. Any song? Okay. One song? No?
He knew something about a flea.
Spanish flea. Nice. Something about a flea. 1943, Christopher Walken was born.
He's a movie actor.
Mm-hmm. He is indeed.
And... And he's one of those men who's in a whole bunch of movies, but the kind of, not always the star, sort of like a supporting role.
Well, he's been the star, but yeah, a lot of supporting roles.
Okay, go ahead.
He's in the Dead Zone, Stephen King. I think he was the star of that one.
What else?
Well, actually, that movie's been coming up lately for our political, you know what happened in that movie?
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on. Okay, 1945, Gabe Kaplan was born.
Thank you. You did that for me. Thank you.
Gabe Kaplan? Why do you like Gabe Kaplan?
Welcome back, Connor.
You don't tell me you like that show.
You hate it.
I can't stand that show. Have you watched it since 1978?
No, I haven't, but I love it.
Okay, because watch it one time and tell me your opinion after it.
No, but I do love the song.
Okay. Al Gore was born on this date in 1948. Al Gore.
And he was the Vice President of the United States who couldn't spell potato. No, that was Dan Quayle. He was the Vice President of the United States. Did he win a Nobel Prize in...
I don't know if it was Nobel, but he was something for the
environment,
climate.
Yeah.
Okay, but what does he say? What is his famous faux pas that he say that he says that people always make...
Oh,
happen?
That he invented the Internet.
Correct. 1948, Rhea Perlman was born.
She was Carla on Cheers.
Very good. I didn't think you'd know that.
Thank you.
Community Cheers fan? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a sitcom.
I watched it.
Welcome back, Cotter. Give me a break.
No, I know. I think I watched Cheers more in reruns than...
1955, Angus...
Oh, she's also Danny DeVito's wife.
Correct. Angus Young was born in 1955.
Angus Young. He's Scottish?
He's Australian, I believe.
Okay.
Actually, Scottish-Australian. Why, because of the word Angus?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
He was the lead, and he still is actually, the lead guitarist for AC/DC. He wears those little schoolboy outfits. Can you picture him?
Back in black.
Okay, 1971, one of my and Lori's favorite actors, Ewan McGregor.
Well, you just told me he was an actor.
Yeah, but you know me more than that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be able to come up with something he's in. He's British. He's in a lot of crossword puzzles because... He's got a guy to...
He was in a favorite movie of ours, Big Fish. Do you ever see that?
Mm-mm.
DVD alert today. I already gave you Devil in the White City as a book. Now I'm giving you Big Fish as a DVD to borrow from my library. But he was also Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah.
The young Obi-Wan Kenobi in the first three Star Wars movies. Before Sir Alec Guinness
took over in number four. Well, actually, Al Guinness was, you know.
He's also an OBE.
OBE?
An owner of the British Empire.
So he's an OB and an OBE?
I'm surprised
sure?
how young he is. Yeah, I do, actually.
Died in 1931, Jennifer. Newt Rockne.
He was the Gipper. He was the football coach of Notre Dame.
Okay, he was a football coach of Notre Dame, but he was not the Gipper.
No. He was said to win for the Gipper.
He said to win one for the Gipper. Gipper was one of his players, Jennifer. Okay. George Gipp. Portrayed in the movies by whom? Here's your backup question. Very famous person.
Who, the Gipper or Newt Rockne?
The actor who played
Newt Rockne
went on to do something even greater than being an actor.
Ronald Reagan.
You have very good deductive reasoning.
I do.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, logic and deductive reasoning are my favorite. So much so when I took the GREs, I only got one question wrong, and that's a portion of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it, Jennifer.
Little known fact.
Died in 1980, Jesse Owens.
He was a black Olympic runner.
Very good.
African-American.
Racing in front of Hitler in the Olympics, famously. And then finally, Jennifer, 2005, Frank Perdue.
Mr. Chicken.
Yes. Famous Perdue chickens. What was his famous line that he was known for?
Oh, golly, I can see him. I don't know.
It takes a tough man to make a tender bird. The great Frank Perdue died on this stage in 2005.
Clinger!
Do a quick report?
How dare you wear that hat while in uniform? It's spring, sir!
Gonna do a quick weather report?
Sure, so we're halfway through the show? It is halfway through the show.
And I just played my favorite, all-time favorite line from
you. Okay, Jennifer led me into the weather. Today's weather, 66 degrees currently in Flemington, going up to 74. Can we take this afternoon off?
You can, I can. I got to approve time.
No, I can't.
People.
I took yesterday afternoon off. I can't take
today. Are you feeling better?
I woke up with a headache again today, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, unfortunately, tomorrow we have thunderstorm chance, a good chance of rain tomorrow, but temperatures are still in the upper 70s.
That's why you'll have a headache today.
Maybe. Usually when it's raining, though. Saturday, temperatures drop back down to 60. Then Sunday, Jennifer, a little blast from the Arctic. A high of only 46 degrees on Sunday. And the temperatures recover back into the 60s and 50s early next week, even though this long-range 10-day forecast calls for snow next week from Saturday. Less than an inch of snow, do you believe that?
No.
I'll make bets on that one.
It's not going to snow.
In the dawn hours, it's going to be snowing, supposedly. But welcome back to the library show. We have to talk about some library stuff now, Jennifer. How did the first half hour go by so quick?
I don't know.
We need to talk about the Friends book sale. We need to. But first, I want to talk about, there's one other thing going on. And I'm sorry, it was last night, Jennifer. Any idea how the Friends general membership meeting went?
I don't.
Because last night they were looking for new ideas for fundraising. Because the current fundraiser, which is still wildly successful, they're looking for other ideas. The current fundraiser, of course, is the Friends of the Huntington County Library book sale.
Another popular program is Inner Line Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday every month. Please call Mom and Honey at 908-284-0500. For more information about any of our programs, or to join me, Mommy Honey, the voice for mental health in Huntington County. I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
I'm the Chamber of Commerce.
The
Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And we're back from our commercial break. Thank you to our sponsors here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And this is Raising Conscious Kids Radio, and we are talking about birth scripts. How we make our way into the world can affect the rest of our lives. And so the key is to become conscious of it, so that when we see it, we can use our processes to heal it, to transform it, and to not be negatively impacted by it. The first is being conscious of it. So let's talk about the births fast or held back. They actually have similar responses. Now, so my delivery was fast, and so this is fun for me to look at again. So, tendencies and issues for people with a fast or a held back birth script. So what is held back? Held back is, oh wait, the doctor's not here yet. Held back is, yes, you're fully dilated, but don't push yet. That's what we mean by held back. Fast is, my mom said, so I'm the second born, and fast is, 2 pushes and I was out. Lucky mom. My mom was lucky, huh? So, tendencies and issues. They create barriers to breakthrough. They will often say, I'm up against a wall, or I'm out of here. They are impatient. Sometimes they get things fast and easy, and they consider this negative. If things are too easy, they get nervous and wait for the other shoe to fall. They have no exit terror and need lots of room around them or a door nearby. So if they're going into a room for a seminar, they're going to sit on the side by the door and as close to a door, either in the front or the back as possible. Or they sit right against the wall saying, they can't stop me. Their most negative thought, I can't. If they were fast, they overreact and feel they can't. If they were held back, they feel stuck. Another negative thought can be, I'm not enough. Another negative thought can be, I am stuck. So, like I said, we're going in alphabetical order. The next is forceps. So, tendencies and issues for people with this birth script. They don't trust choice. Well, because they were delivered with forceps, right? Forceps and all the variations thereof. You know, there are different things today. Okay, they don't trust choice. They don't feel safe unless they're forced, i.e. forced into an action. But they dislike being forced. If you make up their minds for them, they get upset. They rub their foreheads when trying to make up their minds. They can have headaches. They can have TMJ, which is a jaw pain, jaw condition. Eye, teeth, sinus, and allergy problems. They are stubborn. This is about I won't rather than I can't. They make great rebels. As rebels, they go up against authority. At a certain point, they get attacked, and whatever they are rebelling against becomes the authority. They shoot themselves in the feet financially. They wait so long, now they have to do something for stepping themselves into action, i.e. their job was not ideal. The job requires the action to be done. They have a love-hate relationship with authority figures. They have them, but need them to get through, just like needing the doctor at birth. They'll scream, I won't, while silently screaming to themselves, I have to. They thrive on praise from an authority figure that they rebel against. They have resentment because they can get angry and are afraid to express the anger. And when we say resentment, resentment is anger plus fear. Resentment is anger plus fear. That's a big, that's an aha one. That's an aha moment right there. To have resentment because someone will force them to do something they do not want to do. The other person might say, it's for your own good, or trust me, to force or forcep the action. They hold their breath a lot, forcepping the exhale. When speaking, they have to force themselves to
give, and you were hired for a reason. You know, if you have something to say, speak up. It's great advice. So we'll be right back. Just a second or two. It's already 3:48. Thanks for listening in today.
Rob Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rap Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening in again. I'm Judy Murphy. It's already 3:49, and I'm having a conversation. I hope you're enjoying it. We're learning a lot, I think, about communication here with our guest calling in, Connie Kelly, who, again, I just want to remind everybody, is actually going to be facilitating a breakout session at the upcoming Women's Leadership Summit for the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce on April 19th at the Ryland Inn, White House Station, New Jersey. So if you are interested in attending, just contact the chamber, and you can go online and fill out the forms right there. Connie, are you there?
I am. I'm still here.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for holding through on the commercials and being on the show today. I'm sure everybody's enjoying it. Why don't you just take the next about 7 minutes to tell us whatever else you think is most important for our listeners out there.
Oh, my goodness. I feel so empowered.
Yes. Well, you know, so interesting. Yeah, honestly, you know, I'm getting so much out of it, I didn't want to interrupt you. So I was like, let's just keep going because time goes so fast.
All right. Well, I think just to sort of wrap up the whole conversation is that I just want to encourage your listeners to think really carefully about how they're coming across. You know, believe it or not, I actually spend a fair amount of time in my workshops on teaching people how to answer the phone. Now, that might sound a little odd, you know, like, of course, you pick up the phone and you say hello. And I gave an example earlier, but, it's important that you think about how you're coming across. And you're completely responsible for that. That is up to you. That's all your choice. And so you can answer the phone with a tone of voice that says, I'm too busy, I can't talk to you right now. You know, make it quick. You're an interruption. Or you can answer the phone welcoming the person in. You know, I've been sitting here all day just waiting for you to call. And you have to think about how you set the tone of the conversation. And that is very true, not even in telephone communication, but in face-to-face communication. What kind of an impression are people getting of you when you greet them? Just when you greet them. And so what happens is we know that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And what we do then is we either seek evidence to confirm the impression we have, or we seek evidence to change that impression. And because I'm responsible for the kind of first impression that I'm going to make with folks, then I want to be in charge of that. I don't want them making up things about me. So I think clearly, all right, do I greet people with a smile and openness, and do I make eye contact? When I shake their hand, am I shaking their hand firmly, not gripping it, not limply but firmly, that says, hey, I'm important. I'm somebody you're going to want to get to know. Am I, when I'm on the telephone, am I exuding some kind of energy and enthusiasm and helpfulness? Do I sound helpful? And when I record, so I'll go around the room and I'll take a recorder and I'll just go around the room and say, just answer the phone like you normally do. And people will say to me, oh my gosh, I sound angry, or ooh, gosh, I don't know, you know, or, I sound kind of mean. I'm like, yeah. So what happens then, you have to think about what the reaction to the other person is. So when you do that, so you answer the phone and you're sounding mean, they're intimidated. They're not going to be so likely to work with you. They're going to start working against you right away. It's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if I could just leave you with this idea that, you know, be in charge, be aware, be actively involved in the relationships that you're building with others, whether it's a first-time relationship, first and only, or it's your first time into a lasting relationship, especially with customers and clients, you know, folks that we work with on a regular basis. And then all of the channels. And so that kind of brings me around to texting.
Mm-hmm.